Cinco Puntos Press is a small publishing company based in El Paso, Texas. Since 1985, when the press was born, every book they publish takes us to a new place and into unexpected intellectual terrains. Speaking of new places and terrains, Cinco Puntos has several releases coming up in the fall. And here to give us a preview is John Bird of Cinco Puntos Press. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thanks, Marina. Thanks for having me on.
So right before having you on, we had one of your release authors, one Philip Connor, stop in. We talked about his mountain.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like a lovely place. I haven't visited yet. He invited my parents up for 2 days. So they hiked up. My mom trained all summer. She's 74. And they hiked up and spent 2 days at Phil's Mountain.
Really?
Yeah, it sounded great. It sounds really nice.
And what did the birds take away from their time on the mountain?
Well, that they can still hike up a mountain. They were pretty impressed with that.
74 hiking up a mountain? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Although I think it rained the entire time where they were there. So they mostly sat in a cabin and told stories and ate.
Doesn't sound bad.
No, it sounds pretty nice to me.
How did you all connect with Philip?
His wife, Monica Ortiz Oribe, who's a wonderful reporter, is someone we've known for a long time. And through her, we got to know Phil. And when he wrote his newest book, A Song for the River, he decided he wanted a different experience from his first two books and started looking for an indie publisher to publish the book with. And so we said, okay, if you're looking at indie presses, would you mind if we pitched you and tried to acquire your manuscript? And he said, yeah, this will be really great. And it's been fun working with him. He's a really precise writer. We have this joke that he's always going to change one more comma.
So he outed it to the editor. Is that?
he's just really careful. Which is a joy to watch. Every writer is a little bit different. Some writers don't sweat the commas so much. They let us clean that up. But Phil writes prose with the same care that a poet writes his lines. Everything is just real carefully thought out. So he's been on his mountaintop all last week, and on Friday the printed copies of his book finally arrived. Today he came into the office with this cooler, and we kept looking at him like, what are we doing here, Phil? Why do you have a cooler? And so he brings out this teeny tiny little glass of champagne and poured us all a teeny tiny little sip of it and gave us this really lovely toast about the joys of working with one's neighbors. He and my parents live in the same neighborhood. And it really has been a joyful process to have him here and to have him be part of our lives these last 6 or 7 months. We are a border press, but our idea of what the border is constantly expanding and evolving. So we work with writers from all over the country, with artists from all over the country. But it still is extra thrilling when we can promote the work of an artist who's based in El Paso on a national stage.
It's why you're an independent publisher. I can only imagine. That's one of the many reasons to be an independent publisher.
El Paso really informs our publishing perspective. Because of where we're located, we see the importance of books in a different way that people inside the fishbowl of New York would frequently overlook just because they live where they live. And, you know, to them it makes sense to keep publishing family dramas set in Brooklyn over and over.
They forget there's a whole other planet out here.
Yeah, and they forget that there's this whole other world, and it's filled with this wealth of stunning talent and just excellent ideas. I mean, even just here in El Paso and Juarez, we've had so much fun working with some El Paso artists recently for cover design and book art. I'm always stunned to realize I don't know all the artists in town, and
it's kind of cool though, right?
Yeah, no, it's really thrilling. But to get to work with these people and see their ideas explode, it makes me really happy.
Well, you think about somebody like Zeke Pena, who his first book illustration, I imagine, was for you guys. I could be wrong.
He had self-published some zines, but when I first approached him about doing a book cover, he was doing more fine art's not the right word, but more stuff that you would put on a wall. rather than pick up and read. But I've known he's always had this fascination with graphic novels and manga. So he got real excited about doing this book cover for us. Because of that cover and the contacts he made, he did a book cover for us for a book called Gabby, A Girl in Pieces by Isabel Quintero Flores. And they got to be really good friends through that process. And so the Getty Museum in Los Angeles has a publishing arm, and one of their editors wanted to do a nonfiction book about the famous photographer Graciela Iturbide. So they approached Isabel, and Isabel said, yeah, I'll do it, but you got to hire my friend Zeke to do the artwork. And they said, sure. And it's just a stunning book. It's a wonderful homage to Graciela's artwork while being its own piece of art by itself. And Zeke won a Hornbook honor for his illustrations for that book. And that's a really prestigious prize. And I think he and Isabel have since been contracted to do a picture book for another big New York publishing house. It's just interesting to have played a little part in making this connection between two artists, seeing the artwork they create together. Zeke's done a couple other covers for us recently.
Oh, is one of them part of your upcoming releases?
Yeah, actually, he did a cover for us for a collection of middle grade poetry by David Bowles. And the title of the book is They Call Me Weddo. It's about growing up on the border and what that means as a kid. The really cool thing about the book is the poems really examine the complexity of life on the border, how nothing fits this simple narrative, how a kid can be pale-skinned and light-haired but be Mexican, can be a citizen of both sides of the border, can have friends that are Lebanese but speak Spanish. You know, it showcases the complexity of the border and how nothing is this simple idea of fear that we see, unfortunately, too often in portrayals of the U.S.-Mexico border. And that book comes out in September of this year. The cover art, which I love, is a picture of a redheaded boy running through the desert, which I like because Zeke is also a runner himself. So I always thought that resonated. And then, you know, another duo we've had a chance to work with, also on a David Bowles book, is Los Dos.
Oh, they're fantastic.
Who Chris and Ray, who are really wonderful artists and great people to collaborate with. I think because they themselves really enjoy their collaboration, so it makes them easy people to work with because they like that process. And so David Bowles had given us a book called Feathered Serpent, Dark Heart of Sky, which is a retelling of the surviving myths of Aztec and Mayan cultures stitched together in a way so it forms a complete narrative, kind of like the way Neil Gaiman's book Norse Myths did. They're wonderful stories, the myths on their own feet, but it's also a history that's almost entirely forgotten by people who live so close to where it happened, like us here on the border.
Right.
You know, when I was growing up, we never heard about the mythologies of Native American folks in school. So I think this is a really important contribution to literature. Anyway, Los Dos did the cover and illustrations for the interior of it. One of the other books that I'm really excited about for this fall is we're doing a collection of titles by the great James McGee. And it also is a collaboration. It's the first time in any of his artwork that work by all three of his personas appear in the same piece.
So Annabelle is in there.
So Annabelle's in here, and so is Horace. And it's kind of a fun book. It's a little bit hard to describe, but the book that James put together had two really distinct types of titles. He calls his poetry titles because he creates them to go put next to his artwork, his physical artwork, and so they're a title to the artwork. So there's a collection of titles that's really strong on its own, but it has these real wide lines. So we decided in order to present it properly, the book should be in a landscape format. But
cool.
Then he did this other collection of titles that are collectively called The Letters to Goya, and they're written by a woman who lives in a trailer park in Sweetwater, Texas in the 70s to her lover, Francisco Goya. They're actual letters, so they look better when presented in a portrait format. So it's kind of a flip book. So you read half of it, then you turn it over and read the other half.
It's a BOGO, a two-for-one.
Yeah, it's a two-for-one. And hopefully, we haven't figured out the details yet, but Jim is going to be doing a reading somewhere in town, probably in October. I'll let you know.
Yeah, let us know. It'd be great to have him or one of the personas here.
You know, another event we're going to have this fall is Christine Eber, who's the author of When a Woman Rises, is going to be presenting her new book at Café Mayapan on October 4th. I don't think they've settled on a time yet, but if you keep an eye on our website or social media, we'll post it there as soon as we have it. Christine is an anthropologist who used to work at New Mexico State University. She spent a lot of time in Chiapas and developed a really deep relationship with the communities there. And so When a Woman Rises is a coming-of-age story set in Chiapas, and it's really startling in a lot of ways because It is a world so different in many ways from ours, yet rich and complete in its own different way, that it's just mind-blowing how you think you sort of understand the world, and then someone like Christine helps you try and see the world through another culture's eyes, and it really, it's just amazing how little you actually see of the world. And the reason the book is called When a Woman Rises is because there's a saying in the Mayan language, when a woman rises, no man is left behind, which, again, is, I think, for our day and time, is a really wonderful way to think about the world that we live in.
Well, thank you so much for taking us on all these new terrains and journeys, as you do with each and every book.
We love to do it. Thank you for having us. Sometimes you stumble into a job in life that is just fun and exciting every day, and I'm fortunate to be someone who does that.
Doesn't sound like you work a day in your life.
Well, I do, but yeah, but it's fun.
So you forget about it.
Yeah, it's nice and fun.
All right. Well, today my guest has been John Bird of Cinco Puntos Press. As you can see, they have a whole lot of stuff coming up. Best way to stay up to date is to follow them on their social media or to look them up at cincopuntos.com. Thank you so much for coming to State of the Arts.